right. Getting ready to have the message now. And you are in a unique position because it was interesting. We had a meeting. We got three speakers this week. We got Brother Jeff, Brother Ron, and myself. And we got together this week and we started comparing notes. And it was kind of exciting because there was a theme in those notes, you know, in the passages we were using. And it was really, I guess in a word, it was trust, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Yes. And there's about 75 to 80 here, 75, something like that here tonight. And so us 75, I don't know if that's good English, but we 75 or whatever, we have a unique opportunity to see what God did through three men that totally didn't talk to one another about any of this. You know, and just we just got together on Monday because we had to figure out what we were doing, and it just came out. And so that's really exciting. And I hope you will come each and every night and see what God has done and what He's doing. And bring someone. We have 200 chairs here. Now, I only set up 128, but I want to bust out that whole back stack of them back there, okay? So think about who you might bring, and make sure you bring yourself, and let's just see what God does. This is Jeff. Come on up, Jeff. Share the word with us.
Not as thin as I used to be when I'm sneaking up on stage. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 15 this evening. I've been belting out those songs, so I don't want to lose my voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we submit our hearts, our wills, and our minds to You this evening. We pray, dear God, that Your Holy Spirit would anoint us as we prepare those hearts and those minds to receive Your Word. Would You be our teacher here this evening? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm gonna begin with the reading, and then we'll see where God takes us. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." This is the word of the Lord. So when I was a kid, I used to be afraid of the dark. I know it's hard to believe. But there was a time in my life when I was suspect about the dark hallways, about what was underneath my bed, about what was lurking in my closet. So much so that when I would go to bed at night, I would never step close to the bed frame itself. I would always have to run, and then I would jump like Superman, and I would at least have to have at least like a 2-3 foot clearance for any sweeping hand that might come out from underneath my bed. And I don't think I'm alone in this. Have you guys ever felt that way when you were kids? Some of us grow out of it. But I think humanity in general is suspect of the dark. Darkness represents the unknown. Darkness represents uncertainty. Darkness represents vulnerability for each and every one of us. My mother, when I was a child, we'd always be riding our bikes up and down the streets, and we always knew right before it got dark, we could always hear my mother belting out our names from inside the house. And she would call us each by name before it got dark, before the street lights would come on, the house lights. And so before it would get dark, we'd ride our bicycles home and we'd put our bikes away, and all the doors would be locked, shut and locked, secured. The blinds would be closed, and the lights would all be turned on. But despite all that, I quickly discovered that the darkness was inside just as much as it was outside. It was, like I said, in the dark hallways and the closets and the rooms. And so I found out that you can't shut out the dark. That even though you make your way to the house and have the lights on and the doors closed, the darkness still follows you. The common Christian understanding is often not favorable of darkness either. In the Old Testament, light stands for life, while darkness for death. When God was angry with his people, they are plunged into darkness. Locusts darken the land. People grope. For the day of the Lord, the Bible says, is darkness and not light. And in the New Testament, light stands for knowledge and darkness for ignorance, for lack of truth. When the true light comes into the world, the Bible says that they did not know him. In fact, the scriptures tell us that the world loved darkness more than it loved light. And on the day that Jesus died, the Bible records that darkness covered the land. Even though light came into the world, it says, so that people need not remain in darkness. Sometimes we know that people can't be helped. And for those, Jude 13 describes them as raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. But that's not the end of the story. He says, even the Bible, for the Bible, that is not the whole story. That doesn't represent the whole picture. In our story this evening, Abraham was in a dark place. The Bible tells us that Abraham had left everything in Genesis chapter 12. That he had left his home. He had left his land, his friends, his family, and yet even his very identity when God called him out of the land of Ur. Abraham probably felt lost in a land that was not his own. Abraham probably felt isolated and alone, as the story tells us that his father would die and his brother would die. And Abraham would take his nephew under his wing. Abraham left everything. Abraham was also childless. To be barren or to be childless in the Old Testament times, in Abraham's times, and even Jesus' times, would be considered by many to be a curse. If you couldn't have a child, you were considered to be cursed. And so Abraham probably felt that maybe he was cursed because Sarah was barren. Maybe Abraham in that darkness felt hopeless because he had no child, he had no future. Abraham was perhaps even discouraged. In his old age and in waiting for God to fulfill his promise that one day out of Abraham would come a great nation. And yet here we are several years later by the time we get to Genesis 15, and God has not fulfilled his promise to Abraham. Perhaps in his darkness, Abraham felt desperate. Abraham and Sarah, as you read through Genesis, you'll find that they took their lives into their own hands by Sarah giving Abraham her Egyptian handmaid, that they may have children through her. Abraham was in a dark place in his life. And yet it was in this dark place where Abraham learned to trust God. It was in this dark place where Abraham was given comfort by God. In verse 1, God tells Abraham, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid." And it was in this dark place where Abraham felt protected by God. That even though Abraham had left everything, even though Abraham was childless, and Abraham's life was in this dark place, God comforts him. And God reminds him that it is in this very dark place that he is Abraham's shield. In this dark place, we find out that Abraham has everything that he will ever need. God says he is Abraham's exceedingly great reward. Amen. In this dark place, Abraham, you need nothing but me. Because if you have me, you have everything. It is in this dark place where Abraham hears the voice of the Lord that comes to him in a vision. And Abraham is reassured of God's promise that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And as the scripture tells us in verse 6, it is in this dark place that Abraham is delivered. For he believed God, he had faith, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham was in a dark place in his life, and yet it was in this dark place that Abraham learned to trust God. And it was in this darkness that we speak of, where a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus and heard the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The gospel.
That's it.
Shared in a place of darkness. Light had come into the world of darkness. Not removed the world from the dark, but rather light had penetrated into the darkest places to bring the good news to the poor. Freedom for the prisoners. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set the oppressed free. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life. That message came to a world that was plunged in darkness. In Jesus, the Bible says, in this world of darkness, Jesus comes, and it's in him that God is making all things new. The promise to Abraham was at last being fulfilled in Christ, that all nations through him would be blessed. There are some of you here tonight who might be wondering, why, Pastor Jeff, why are you talking about all this darkness? And that's because some of you here tonight have perhaps found yourself in a place of darkness. You have found yourself in a dark place. Many of you here tonight maybe might be like Abraham and feel cursed, that life is barren, or you have experienced a series of tragic events in your life. Perhaps you're here tonight and, like Abraham, you feel hopeless. You feel that your future does not look good. And you may even might not have a future at all. Perhaps, like Abraham, you feel discouraged, that you have not had your prayers answered, that you've been praying for so long, day in and day out, God, will you just heal me? God, will you deliver me? God, will you help me? Will you provide for me? And I don't know where you are, God, because I feel like my prayers aren't being answered. And for many here tonight, maybe you've been praying these prayers for years. Perhaps praying for your family, your friends, even yourself. And God has yet to answer your prayer. Maybe you feel desperate, like Abraham, where you feel the need to no longer wait on God anymore because he's taking too long, and so you want to take things into your own hands. Perhaps, like Abraham, you feel lost, not knowing who you are anymore or where you even belong. Maybe in this room full of people, you feel alone. You feel isolated. Maybe the worries and the anxieties of this life are wearing you down. The good news is that the good news of the gospel is that God meets us where we are. God meets us in the very dark place where we feel cursed, where we feel hopeless, where we feel discouraged, where we feel desperate, where we feel lost and alone and isolated. And it's the still, soft voice of the Lord that comes to us in that dark place. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. For I am your shield. And I am your great reward. For if you have me, you have everything. God meets us in the darkest places of our lives, and it is there where we learn, like Abraham, to trust God. You don't trust God, learn to trust God in the light. It's in the darkness where you can't see, where you can't feel, where you can't hear. And it's in that dark place, as Exodus describes, the dark cloud coming down, where Moses encounters the very God of creation itself, speaking to him and guiding him, giving him his instruction. And likewise, it's not until that dark cloud comes into our lives where we can sit down and away from the distractions of life, and we can hear God's voice, and we can learn to trust him, to hold his hand, and allow him to lead us and guide us. It's in this dark place of our lives where we receive, like Abraham, our call and God's purpose in our life. To leave the land that we are so familiar with, to go unto a place that we know not of, and allow God to take us there. Because if we had the map, it would be upside down. Because men just refuse to stop and ask for directions, right? So we got to learn to lean on God.
Amen.
And it is in this dark place where God assures us that we need not fear, and he delivers us by giving us the hope of his eternal promise of new life and salvation. See, the gospel is not very complicated. The Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world. That is, he was crucified for your sins and for mine. That all of us had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty for our sin is death. And Jesus took that death upon himself. And the Bible tells us that not only was Jesus crucified for our sins, but that he died the death that we should have died. He paid the penalty that we should have paid. And he was buried. And on the third day, Jesus rose again. And he showed himself and revealed himself to hundreds of people. Even those who did not believe, he said, "See my hands and touch my wounds. You of little faith, it is I. I am alive.
Amen.
And what you have seen God do in me, he will do in you." The Bible tells us that Jesus had ascended to the Father, where he is seated at the right hand. And it is from there that we look forward to his coming again in great power and in glory. The Bible tells us that the dead will be resurrected. That is, they will be raised to life. Some to life everlasting, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. At that time, God will make all things new. As Revelation records, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death and mourning, and there will be the healing of all the nations. God will dwell in the midst of his people. This is the good news, that in Christ, God was fulfilling the promises to Abraham that Abraham looked forward to. It was in that dark place that Abraham had to learn to trust God. The question is, church, in that dark place of your life right now, do you trust him? Do you trust God to lead and guide you? Do you trust that God will fulfill His promise to you that He will answer your prayers? The good news that we are forgiven of our sins and that God has revealed Himself to us that we may have eternal life and spend it in the presence of our very Creator. In Christ, the kingdom of God has come near to us. And Jesus calls all those who seek to be His disciples to simply repent, to turn away from our sins, to realign our thinking with God, to believe, to put our faith and our trust in Him and in Jesus Christ alone. And the hardest part is to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to commit our lives to Him. See, on the cross, our lives were crucified with Him. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Him who lives in me. In other words, my life is no longer my own, but it is Christ's life. And our prayer should be that Jesus, that our hands would be Your hands. To touch and heal, to pray, to hold, to hug. That our feet would be Your feet, Jesus, that they would take us where You would go, even into that dark place where we can share the love and the light of Christ with others. Church, this evening, there are some of you here who perhaps are finding yourself in that dark place. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're here this evening and you've just been looking into this more and more and more. What is this? What is this Jesus thing about? Perhaps others of you here are in a dark place where you haven't been following Jesus the way you should have been. Maybe you're coming back to the Lord. Maybe you're visiting the Lord for the first time again in your life because you struggled in that dark place. Maybe you're just old like me and you just need some good fellowship and friends. Amen? Whatever it is, let the light of Christ shine in your hearts. Will you allow Jesus to shape you and form you? That in that dark place that you allow Him to mold you into a new creation. Into the person that He has called you to be. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. This evening, if you've never really given your life to Christ, and I'm not talking about just investigating and learning, but if you have yet to fully surrender your life to Christ, what better time than now? Right now, this evening. Jesus calls all those who want to follow Him to repent, to put their faith in Him, and follow Him. And if you want to do that this evening, there is no better time than now. Perhaps you're here this evening and you want to recommit your life back to the Lord. There is no better time than now. For tomorrow is never promised to you. Lord, we thank You that You would send Your Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. that by the blood of Jesus our sins are washed away. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to learn to trust you in the darkest areas of our life, the areas where we are vulnerable, the areas where we are uncertain, the areas where we are uncomfortable. Lord, we pray that our lives would be a living sacrifice unto you. God, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would have mercy on us, and that you would make us into a new creation, that you would shape us and mold us into the image and likeness that you have called us to be the church that you have called us to be. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would transform our hearts, that you would transform our minds, that we would put our full faith and trust in you, even in the darkest areas of our lives, that we would entrust our lives over to you, God. That we would learn to lean on you, to take you by the hand and allow you to lead and to guide us through the darkness, even through the valley of the shadow of death. For we need not fear, for you are our shield. You are our exceedingly great reward. Without you, Lord, we have nothing. And without you, Lord, we are nothing. And so we all recommit our lives to you, God. If you're here this evening, we pray that you would commit your life to the Lord for the first time, to experience his love in your life and the blessings that he has bestowed upon all of us, that we are called his sons and daughters, that in our hearts we cry out, Abba, Father. God, will you make us anew? Will you refresh our souls over these next few days, Lord God, to learn to fall in love with you again? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.